Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Erica Pulcinelli, part two. We are so excited to welcome her back to Soul Busy. Erica is our friend. She is the owner of Evolve by Erica. She is a meditation and yoga teacher based in New York who founded an online membership community based in Kundalini practices. On Evolve by Erica, you can access life-changing meditations, whether you are a beginner and have never meditated before or are more advanced, there's something there for you. Erica's membership makes an ancient practice accessible to all, allowing you to tap into your highest potential and your highest self. She shares plant-based recipes and movement meditations, and she's offering all listeners 1 month free. You can access this 1 month by following the link in our description, or you can use the code SOULBUSY at checkout. Welcome, Erica.
Welcome back, Erica Pulcinelli. We're obsessed with you. Been obsessed with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm laughing already.
I am obsessed with you. I like DM you a lot. It's like creepy.
She not answer you?
I love it.
No, there was just one time I really wanted her to answer me and she didn't. And I was like, whatever.
I'm sorry.
Cool.
Whatever.
Well, Erica, you're our first guest back for a second round.
I'm honored, truly honored. I listen to the podcast. I'm obsessed with the two of you. I take you on my walks with me and I'm literally laughing out loud. And honestly,
my life.
Nothing makes me more excited than being a guest.
Wow. We're cute. We've been doing these. Well, obviously, so you were on when it was Mob.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now it's Soul Busy, honey. Like, we're just a whole new vibe. So I love it too. I feel like it's everything. And it just describes like my entire life's purpose. What we do is ask everybody now, like, why are you soul busy? Because the prerequisite to coming on this podcast is that you live a soul busy life. So I want to ask you first, what does being soul busy mean to you, Erica?
Come on, Erica.
Erica.
I'm giggling again because I think you guys are hilarious, but also because I think soul busy is my life as well. This is the earliest I've ever had an appointment basically to get into the city because I am so busy in the morning. Like I'm waking up, I'm doing my morning meditation, which is at least 35 minutes long. I'll be honest. It goes longer than that.
Every
morning, because when you get a taste of how good it feels to tap in and go to that space, you just want that every day. It's almost like an orgasm every day, but like a spiritual experience in that way.
Let's get the podcast started with spiritual orgasms.
Okay, you do. I'm leaving.
It's just truly when you start to peel back a lot of what you've been holding in your body. For me, it was anxiety and panic and tension and all fear, all the things. You bring yourself to a baseline, your nervous system's at a baseline. And then as you continue to work with that baseline and really meditate and chant mantra and do all the things with the breath work, you actually dip lower into that baseline where you become more sensitive and you just feel everything more. And it's that increased sensitivity and it's that space that I dip into during my meditations that's like truly ecstasy. It's like nothing else exists. I'm in this buzzy, blissful state and it's the energy of oneness. It's the energy of connection to myself, to every other person on this planet, to source energy. And yeah, it's just, I guess, the spiritual orgasm, we'll call it.
I like that, though.
It makes perfect sense. We were contemplating your episode and what we wanted to talk about, a lot of people ask me about like, how do you make a morning routine? How do you make any routine? Like, how do you build meditation into your life? And it's a common question, but we also talked a little bit about like rest in peace anxiety and like kind of combining those two things and those topics on this episode, just because I remember you saying that like your journey in meditation sort of was rooted in anxiety. Is that correct? Like fears and medical fears, anxiety. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I think my whole life, I could remember after I started meditating, I remembered back to a specific moment that I made the connection. If you worry about people, that shows you love them. That's a way of showing love. And it was this worrying or this showing of worry to people I loved was this learned behavior that I started to do. And a lot of people around me were doing it as well. And I don't know if it was learned for them or just something intrinsic, but I started to show my love in that way. And from there, anxiety just became this false sense of control. I would see people in my life and in my family that worried a lot about their health, and they always were healthy and there was nothing to worry about. And I thought in a way, subconsciously, like if I'm worrying about something, it's not going to happen. And I developed an anxiety around that. And I'm pretty sure as you go on in your journey and as you meditate more, you gain more and more clarity. And that's the state of consciousness I'm in right now to kind of pinpoint it back to that. But that turned into...
You worried about it more because you thought it would be better?
Yeah. Yes. The exact opposite.
That's horrible. I do that too. Yeah, it's like
the exact opposite of everything I believe now.
Ugh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So it really came to a peak in my mid-20s with health anxiety. I would say 99% of my day. I would go as bold as saying 99% of my day was consumed in fear and what ifs and all of these dreadful possibilities. Ooh. And I really start to recognize it when I moved in with my husband, because he seems very free of anxiety. If he's watching a movie, he's sitting there watching the movie. And I would look at him and I'd be like, he's sitting here present watching the movie. That's what he's doing. I'm sitting here thinking about 82 things that could go wrong tomorrow, or like these doomsday narratives I've had in my mind. So that's really where the contrast started. Like, wow, I'm really in a darker place than I ever imagined. And people can live in a very peaceful present space. And from there, every doctor I would go to, just for a doctor's appointment, it would really come out being that it was mostly health anxiety. It would really peak in a doctor's office. It's called white coat syndrome, they call it. And every doctor was like, you need to do something about this. You have anxiety. What are you doing? Are you seeing a therapist? Are you on medication? And I was just like, oh gosh, like you're right. And I don't know. And gratefully and luckily, the practice found me in the time I desperately needed it. I was having serious panic attacks. My face would turn white. My lips would turn white. I felt like I was going to die on the spot. I would have to call my mom and hear her voice, and that would bring me back to life. And I'd be like, I'm okay, right? And she's like, you are okay. And when those started to become more frequent, that's where I was like, I need help. And the universe called in this practice for me. It showed up, and I started 3 to 5 minutes of this breath work each morning, and it completely transformed me from the moment I started, truly.
Did you, like, I know anxiety can be triggered by something or it can just happen. Like there doesn't have to be a reason. Did you ever think there was like a specific reason? Like did something traumatic happen where like this triggered for you, or was it?
Yes. And possibly. So at one time I was thinking that I would have like these visions in the shower and of things that have never happened to me in this lifetime. And I started to think, I think something may have happened in a previous life that was really scary and startling health-wise, and I brought it into this lifetime and have gratefully cleared it since. But I absolutely think there was something in another lifetime that I brought in here. And then there was an experience in this lifetime too that exacerbated it and really brought it up and out. I went to a doctor. I thought I was experiencing an emergency. It wasn't one at all, turns out, but I thought I was experiencing an emergency, and the doctor told me every possibility under the sun. And when you hear that as someone who's already anxious, already who has health anxiety, that's it. Like you have yourself dead. Like you're like, oh, that's it, you know? So I had to work through that for honestly a few years. I had a little bit of PTSD after that doctor's appointment. And gratefully, it was nothing at all. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of this lifetime, but also a previous.
It's interesting. It's really... You were talking about how like Vinny was watching the movie and you're like jealous of him because he is just sitting there like really watching the movie. And you're, I've had that feeling before. It's funny when you talk about Vinny though, that really reminds me of me and my husband because we're super opposite in that way. Like I can be anxious and he's just like living and existing and like doesn't worry about one thing. And I mean, sometimes he does, he's not like a robot, but it's, I sometimes feel inferior to like the way he lives his life. Cause I'm like, must be nice, honestly, to not wake up and have those feelings all the time.
And that's why there are our expanders and our teachers.
Yeah.
Because as much as like a lot of people view me as a spiritual teacher, one of my very top spiritual teachers is my husband for that reason alone, just being able to be present.
It's cool.
You know? Yeah.
One thing you said that I thought was interesting was the phrase developed anxiety, or that it was developing more as time went on for you. Because I think there's probably like a few different types of anxiety, right? Like there's like a situational moment where like we're going to say here, like rest in peace anxiety, but I don't think that that means that I don't get anxious, right? I don't think it means that you've like eliminated anxiety from your life. We're still humans with a beating heart and a mind that like have a soul connection. There's going to be situations that arise that cause me to my heart to palpitate and have a human reaction, you know? So like, but I think it's more the cope, right? Like how do you learn to cope as time goes on with that anxiety or those stresses, that I find interesting. It's a tool, like we've talked about. Like, would you say you've eradicated anxiety from your life or just drastically improved it?
I love that you're saying this, especially with like the title and the focus of this, because I would never want to give a message that like, I will never be anxious again. I will never experience elevated heart rate. It's not, yes, it's part of the human experience to be impacted in some way by the external world and what's going on around us.
Right.
The thing with this practice is when I think of what it's done for me, I think of the word warrior. I think of this expansion of my nervous system where I can truly handle so much more in such a different way. Right. So something that honestly, as something as simple as like going through the Midtown Tunnel to get into the city today or going over a bridge or driving in traffic and needing to be here at a certain time, something that once triggered me no longer exists as a trigger in that sense.
Right.
But of course, there's going to be experiences in my life that challenge me because that's how we grow and that's how we change. And it's kind of like the deeper the work we do, sometimes we experience these different challenges to evolve to that next level. So we're always going to experience challenge, and that can show up as something that makes us anxious or have anxiety. But the threshold is different because it's almost like the physical training of a marathon, where if you're running a mile, if you've never ran a mile before, that mile is going to be really hard for running a mile. But if you're a marathon runner, you're aiming for, what is it, 30-something miles, 33 miles or something like that. And I feel like that's the same with this practice. And for me personally, with the anxious feelings or the fearful thoughts, it's like, okay, I've conquered these lower level anxieties. I do not get triggered by what I once have. However, there could be certain instances or experiences in my life that can bring it up. And it's like, ooh, I have a new layer to heal. And that's the journey of life. But it's like what that's, once had no longer does.
I think you graduate, or at least for me, I think I've graduated from different
– you evolve.
Parts of anxiety, you evolve. Well, when we first talked, you taught me about like the cancel clear, and that really has worked for me because – I had health anxiety, not for myself, but for other people. And I think I mentioned this to you before, I would have like specific diagnosis for people and I'd be like, oh, they're going to pass away from this. And I know, and that's just what's going to happen. And it's just
scary.
It is really scary. It's awful. But like, and then I used to think of like the specific thoughts when I would do things, like it would be a totally happy day. I'd get in the car and I'd be like, let's ruin this day with some really horrible thoughts right now. Like that's happened to me and it still happens to me, but I tried and keep trying to control it. And I actually can say like after, I don't know, maybe 10 years of like learning different techniques, it's gone down drastically.
Yeah.
But I think I've graduated from some things, but you know, they still come up randomly and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you're thinking about that right now. But the amount that I think about it less, I'm like, wow, I'm really proud of myself that I haven't thought about that in so long. You know, like that thought that comes back up.
I think a panic attack probably is like an unanswered thought that you let linger for too long. Like I have vagal nerve fainting. And oh, it's the worst. It's really a terrible thing because it happens to me in medical situations, but not actually about myself. Like it's usually about somebody else. Like my dad had a stint where we thought he was paralyzed and like last year, and it was like a whole thing. His legs stopped working. And it was like I'm sitting in there in the room watching them test his legs and I'm like spiraling. So like I'm a meditative person. I'm spiritual. I put the work in. I have my routines, but in that moment, watching my father potentially be paralyzed, it all went out the window for me. Like I couldn't get to deep breathing. I couldn't get to my modalities that help me function as a human. And all I did was just collapsed. I collapsed to the floor. My vagal nerve surrendered and I went down and that was it for me. You know what I mean? That is a form of anxiety in my eyes, because my pediatrician used to tell me you can control vagal fainting. And I never used to understand that, you know? So that's like one form that I have not conquered. But when I was younger,
I wonder if that's true.
I do think it's true. Cause there's times I can feel myself entering and I can like stop myself.
Yeah.
But there's some situations that are so overwhelming to my subconscious that I don't think I can handle it. Like, you know, a loved one or something along those lines. I passed out twice.
I'm laughing at her just going down
in the corner of a hospital room. But when I was younger, I used to have severe anxiety, like coffee. I couldn't drink coffee when I was younger. I used to convince myself I couldn't feel my tongue and I was swallowing my own tongue, and then I'd get anxiety about my tongue. And I would think about like, where does my tongue end? And then I would spiral about those things. But I think what's funny about this conversation, like you mentioned the word graduate, you know, your entire life is about evolving and being a human that can transform and better themselves, is that your anxiety can take different forms over time. And yes, you can graduate, it may morph. But what can happen is if you can adopt maybe some of these skill sets, you can find ways to cope over time and kind of get better at it over time, right? Like, don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I think about this a lot because I'm not a mom yet. And I'm like, I know that's going to be my next chapter of deep evolution.
Oh, yeah.
I also know that I've been a mom in other lifetimes, because I see the people I've parented even in this lifetime. Like, I really believe we come in with our soul family. And like, I was probably my mom's mom and Vinny's mom at one time. I really believe it. But it's like that I know is going to bring a whole other level. And that's the evolution and that's the growth. But to exactly what you were saying, I think it's so important. And the same thing with what Carly was sharing before. When we have a morning practice, everything comes back to me for the morning practice, because you are getting ahead of your day. You are taking care of your nervous system. You're putting yourself in a calm state of rest, of digest, not reactivity, not reacting or responding from triggers or your own stuff, anxiety, fears, whatever it may be. You're bringing yourself into this frequency, truly a frequency. It's not woo-woo. It's scientific. We're transforming our inner frequency. So what we experience during the day, we actually see differently. So Carly, you're not going to experience as many as of those thoughts coming up in the car, like let's ruin the beautiful day, because you're in the frequency of this is a beautiful day and look at the beauty of it. And you're not even a match now for those thoughts any longer, right? Because you've shifted your frequency.
Yeah. It's a different dimension that you've entered.
Yeah.
I love thinking like that, because it's like life is such a long, you can look at it in so many different ways. Like I'm for some reason, obviously it's comparing to like weight loss for me, because like weight loss is forever. Like the way you think about food, your lifestyle, your diet, your activity is forever. It's not like you lose a bunch of weight and then you're just like back to how you were before. So for me, I'm just thinking about like, it's like that maintain, like how you maintain this habit that you've learned. You don't just like wake up and you're like, oh, I'm not anxious anymore and I'm going to keep on going just because I didn't have this thought. Like it's something you kind of have to do forever. And I think when you realize that, it becomes less anxious to you, because you're like, this is work I have to do.
It has to become you.
Yeah. Like it can't be something. And I'm calling myself out as I'm on this podcast, because I think sometimes I'll go like in and out of like believing these things and like feeling these things. And then I'll have a day where I'm like, oh, I'm back to that like phase I was in that I didn't want to be in. So what's like relatable to me is that like not every day is going to be perfect, but like the fact that you're starting your day with that moment so you can get ahead of it and be proactive really resonates with me.
It's consistent.
Yeah, because it's not, and I love that you do it every day. You're like, even on vacation, I see that you do it. There's no girlies, days off.
Girlies, here I am from your future. May I just allow another perspective? So
please give us your perspective.
I'm at a different place, mommy, in my life, right? Like I went from like intense, like trying to get pregnant, like intensive, deep, soulful searching of meditation. Like it wasn't working for me. I was like, what the fuck? You know, like all through COVID, I went into the deepest meditation, invented Sleepy Tie. Like I was in a really woo-woo place at that time. And then entered into pregnancy, right? And having one baby, I actually found I had a lot of time to meditate. Like that was fine. It was great. I still had a morning routine. It was no problem. Having two babies, I find that my mornings sometimes may be I might be woken by a child at 5 a.m. with a tooth coming in, right? And she's screaming. And that's my time. I it's not about waking up for me anymore. I've evolved past that. I can wake up. I don't care about getting out of bed. It's not about putting the work in. Don't give a shit. I can do that. It's not about being tired. I don't care about that either. I can handle it, can rise above it, can meditate through it. Sometimes I don't even have the opportunity anymore to get that meditation block.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So that's a whole fucking different thing. So what would you say? I mean, I have some advice for my own question, but like, what would you say to me if I was asking you that? Like, what would be your recommendation? You know, I know find the time, but what if you're in that stage of life?
Okay, two things, and it's going to touch upon both of what you guys were sharing, and then I'm going to give another answer too, because Rachel, you're different. You at this point have embodied a lot of what you've practiced. You're different. You're not coming to me saying I want to start meditation and I'm a new mom. There's an embodiment piece. And Carly, that's what I wanted to share too, based off what you said. As much as it's work every day, you start to shift, and the embodiment is exactly what Rachel said. It starts to become you. You actually step into this new version of yourself. And eventually, it's not like I have to do this because I'm going to go back and have that same anxiety. No, it's I want to do this because there's more of me to experience. And there is so much more goodness that I could tap into and have access to. So something eventually shifts and you do. Like now for me, one breath could be as powerful as what a 15-minute meditation once did for me, because I was here. I was so anxious. I needed the intensity. I needed the 15 minutes to get my ass grounded. Now my one breath is so powerful because my body remembers what that gives to me. I could take a breath.
You said that, Erica.
And I'm connected.
I honestly like needed that answer because I couldn't figure out why I'm still okay. Do you know what I mean? Like even because like what I've been doing is I haven't been able to make it to my meditation room in the past, like honestly, probably like 6 weeks. Because
well, it's 'cause you're not phony though. You believe what you say. Like no, I agree
not
with the
phony.
No, I'm saying I agree with the embodiment of it. It's not like just because you didn't meditate doesn't mean you're not meditating.
No. I'm still meditating. So like what I've done is I've transformed the routine. But what I really like, because I am okay through it all. And like Leland and I always joke, we're like, everything's fine. I actually always mean I really am fine. And it's like, sometimes I wonder like, is my body chemically like believing that my aura ring confirms I am fine, right? Like I'm not stressed. Like I actually have a very low stress level, which is funny because people think that that's not true, right? I do agree with you. I've embodied it and that it has become me, but I've also transformed the routine a little. So like when I shower now, or those moments that I know like I'm going to need to eventually clean my armpits during that time, I will sit there and I'll take a bath and I will just deeply meditate, but I make the breath count further. You know, like healing frequencies, sounds are on. I'm in the bath, submerging my empath and my empath body in a body of water. I'm ridding myself of that. I have Palo Santo and sage burning at the same time. Like it's like a mega routine all at once, and I can do it in 10 minutes and I can get myself back. It is not like I'm not going to space. You know what I mean? Like I'm not floating in space. I'm not really, really out of the world, but I am out of my mind. And so that has been helpful, but I appreciate that response because I haven't been able to put my finger on it.
Yeah. And There's, as you're starting to uncover here for the listeners too, there's levels. There's definitely levels. There's that stage of just connecting to your breath and allowing your body to feel that it's safe. There's a stage of really tapping into the nervous system and bringing it to a very even centered space. There's a space of going into the subconscious and unearthing what needs to clear and becoming more of the observer. And then there's that space of like, I'm not on this planet. I actually left and now I'm back afterwards.
Yes.
So there are levels, and every period of your life and every phase of your life is going to call for a different experience. And as a new mother, for the people who don't have a practice or maybe had a small, quick practice and they're just out of their situation or routine because of a baby at home or a new job or whatever it may be, I would really, my claim is that 3 to 5 minutes can be so powerful. That's how this whole entire journey started for me, completely transformed me inside out. And it could be anywhere. It could be while you're breastfeeding. It could be while you're on the freaking toilet bowl. It could be while you're doing brushing your teeth or washing in the morning. It's just like, can you tap into that breath? Can you tap into the feeling of being safe and knowing that you're right here, right now, you're protected, your angels, your guides are with you. And it can be possible. It's just about allowing yourself to perceive where you can tap into that energy.
I love the phrase tap in, because it's in me. It's in you. Yeah. It's in you. It's can you access it, right? And how quickly can you access it from whatever you're going to do? I read once that staring at your child is a form of meditation. And I've never forgot that, because like the other day, Lily woke up really early. She was really frustrated. I was taking a meditation bath. I had it all set up. I was so excited. Like, I had 2 hours to myself, and she was up, and she wasn't going down. And I was like, I can't meditate while she's screaming. This will not work. So I went and got her, and I was like, get in the bath with me. And so we sat there together, and what I did is I zoned in and I focused on her face. And I zoned in on my third eye and I just stared at her. It was probably really creepy, like from her perspective or from like was watching, like sitting there naked holding my child in the bath. But I was actually able to tap into the zone of rising above myself in a dimension. I felt myself exit and I felt myself watching her, and I like was almost tripping a little, because I was like, holy shit, I'm staring at my daughter. Holy shit, she came out of my vagina. Holy shit, that's my offspring. Holy shit, like I made that. Holy shit, like she's going to grow up. Holy shit, like she's going to live longer than me. Like all of these things, like it was actually a crazy meditation. We've talked about this. Our thoughts enter when we get quiet. So like all of a sudden I was meditating, staring at her. But I agree with you. I think there's so many fun ways and interesting ways you can challenge yourself to tap into any moment with meditation, you know?
Yeah.
It's so true. And the worst thing we can do is say, but I was supposed to be in this bath alone and not embrace the moment that you were given.
Exactly.
Or this used to look a different way, and now I'm never going to reach that state of enlightenment or whatever, that spiritually connected space, because it's not what I was doing. Every single day offers us something.
I think it's fake spiritual if you say that shit, because it's like, no, you can find it. You can find it.
Yeah. It's like it's a challenge to find it. Like, how spiritual are you? Can you find it in this?
Exactly.
Can you find it? And when the universe is shifting gears for you, you know, realigning your path.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful perspective. I fall more in love with you every
day. I feel the same about you guys.
Thank you so much.
Well, you said that too, because like on this earth that you felt like you were born to be a mom. Like, I feel the same way, but when you're trying to get pregnant, which I am now, like that, it's like a really hard test, because it's like, you can't be anxious, but it makes you super anxious. So it's like a new,
it's fucked up.
It's honestly the worst thing ever.
Fucked up.
And I'm trying to be like super positive about it, but like, it's really kind of mentally frustrating, and it tests you in ways you never thought. Cause I like thought I was in a good place, and I'm like, this is actually really annoying.
Well, Erica said it perfectly. The challenges, the anxieties, the thoughts are the teacher.
100%.
Right.
So, and like, I found myself like, I was having an annoying day, and I sat in my car before I went into my house, and I was just like, I cried. This is sad, but I cried in my car alone.
When?
No, it was a moment. I cried in my car alone, and like I sat in my car and breathed, and I was like, I'm good now. Like I'm going to leave now, and I feel totally good. And like, I had the moment. I didn't even tell anyone, because
I don't like that.
It's fine. But you do like it though, because I'm.
You like it?
No, I'm going to tell you why, because I can get myself back on a healing path. Like, I don't need anybody else to tell me.
Self-regulated.
It's going to be fine. Like, I know it's going to be fine. And if I truly believe that, then that's all that matters to me. So I did take that moment, and I'm not like the most meditative person where I'm like, I'm going to wake up every day and meditate. I believe in it. I think it's wonderful. And maybe one day I will do it more, but I think there are moments within your time or like the times of your day where you are in like that tough zone. I saw the bird. You are in that tough. Did I see the bird again?
Every time she talks about a baby, the bird's coming.
I love it. I love that.
Bunnies are fertility.
I know. It's fine. It's just, I think a lot of people walk on that journey alone. And I like to speak. I don't want anyone to ever feel like they're alone. Cause it's.
No, absolutely. I think there's this really big emphasis on faith. And faith is honestly something I lacked so deeply before I found this journey. Like I was like, there's no one there guiding me. You live, you die, the end, period, the end. And then all of a sudden I literally had a spiritual awakening and I'm like, oh my gosh. And different situations over the last 6-7 years have brought me to the place of I am in complete surrender, almost to the point where I'm like, I don't even know what I want because I trust the universe so deeply.
I get that. I feel that. I hate myself for it sometimes.
It's an interesting space to be because I feel like I created my whole life as we know it right now due to manifestation, due to knowing what I wanted, going after it, writing it down, being like doing the ceremonies, having the mantra blasting, writing it down in detail. And now talk about graduating. It's like, I want this if you want this for me, God, universe,
same.
Divine energy. Same. Like, give me what's meant for me and only what's meant for me.
It's funny you say that because I've been thinking about like –
it's relinquishing the control.
I have these little elephants I bought in Thailand that
– that's not what I thought you were going to say. I think
that in my head I've correlated to how many children I will have.
And how many do you have?
There's 4 elephants and 1 went missing. And I am not kidding. You talk about crying your car alone. I fucking bugged out. Like I was freaking out recently. I was like,
I hate that.
Where the fuck's my elephant? Like I texted everyone that enters into my house.
Is it on your desk?
No, it's a different elephant. Oh, okay. I want the exact elephant that I brought home. And literally I had to meditate on it. Cause I was like, why am I freaking out so much? Like, why am I trying to control this so much? Why I'm trying to design my life, manifest my life. Like that's not my job. It's not my role. So I couldn't agree with you more, Erica, and the surrender piece is a level of embodiment that you reach where it's like, I do just trust. I said to myself the other day in a meditation when I was soothing the thought, I was like, everything you've ever wanted has been so beautiful, has worked out. Your journey has been so magnificent. The fuck do you want? Shut up, surrender, let live, let it be, let it whatever. I want to know something so funny. So all of a sudden, this little llama shows up, this little toy llama. I know this is so weird. Somebody found a toy llama and put it with the elephants. Now there's 4.
So it was Lily.
I don't know. It's high up. No one could touch this. So I don't know who it was, but somebody put a llama with the elephants. So now there's 3 little baby elephants and 1 llama. And now I'm like,
so maybe that's God, 3 girls, 1 boy.
Are you speaking? Is it 3 girls, 1 boy? I'm like, okay. But like, I just think it's funny. Like you surrendered those little signs, those synchronicities you look for can soothe you. And also when you let go, like I let go, I was like, there's only 3 elephants. The llama appeared.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so true. And I think sometimes I'm like, well, Erica, are you just taking the easy way out by being like, Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah. And like, I challenge myself always in every way. But the alternative really is creating resistance. So if I want something and it's not happening and I start to focus on that or fight for it, or that creates a lot of resistance where if you sit back and if you're like, okay, universe, like I'm going to work with what you're giving me. I know you know what I want and I'm doing everything in my power to stay a very high frequency. So I'm aligned for everything that I want. Now it's up to us to co-create together. And it's true. When you can just sit back and say, I trust, something else may appear or clarity may appear or whatever it may be, that realignment.
Leland and I were talking about trust falls this morning a little bit because we were talking about like some big opportunities that are coming up for us. And she was like, how are you feeling? And I was like, I feel like I'm living and trusting. like, she goes, it's like a trust fall. I was like, it is. It's like a trust fall. It's just like, you just have to know it's going to be okay. And that's just, you know, all it is. And I think it's beautiful to surround yourself with people who understand that and who really just know you are fine. But I also think it's important to know what level you're at. You know what I mean? Like, I love what you're saying with, you can graduate, you can get to a point where you can see things differently, you know?
I think you have to ask yourself the question is like, do you want that? Or like, some people enjoy complaining. Some people enjoy not being spiritual.
Well, I don't enjoy being around those people.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying some people are like that. Like, and it's interesting. They live their life like that. Like, but if you, like, I know a lot of people who suffer with anxiety and have to be medicated, and it's chemical. It's not, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a different thing for sure.
And it's totally different. And I respect all aspects of anxiety, but I think some people just are happy in the way that they deal with things. And I find that to be funny, where it's such like,
Contrast.
I couldn't think of the word. Yeah. Such a contrast in this world.
I was going to share, like, it's important for you to know you can graduate.
Yeah.
And for you to take a step back every so often and be like, have I graduated? Am I still in this loop? Because this has just been how I've been wired for however long. Is this now a habit? Am I actually ready to leave this in the past and be like, Erica, you've achieved this, or you have accomplished this. You're no longer in that frequency. And we have to make sure that our habits, our thoughts, everything that we're still doing and playing out is actually a match to who we are right here and right now. Because it's so easy to just go along doing what we've always done.
It is.
And it's important to take that time to be the observer and be like, actually, I'm still doing this, but this does not match who I am today. And that's gotta go.
That's a very interesting perspective. And it actually kind of leads me to the next point, which is, you know, we're talking about from different levels here, right? Like, which I love that visual of what would you call it? Like, levels of what? Like, levels of spirituality, levels of having put the work in.
Tears.
I think it's consciousness. And instead of seeing it like low or high, it's kind of just like this continuum.
Almost like left, right, up and down.
Yeah. Yeah, because
it's not negative if you're
it's
not
like the spiral. It's like the spiral where you're like not just shooting straight up, but you're like on this journey. And it's a level of consciousness that has to do with our frequency.
So that makes sense to me. So now let's go to a different place. People ask us, I'm sure they ask you, how do you start a morning routine? Like, my morning routine still exists. If I have to replace it and put it at night, sometimes it's a nighttime routine. Sometimes it happens in the middle of the day. What is step one in creating any sort of well-being routine?
Step one is, where are you going to do it? Because there's a lot of importance on where. Every day you have to just have this plan. Make it as easy as possible for yourself, because in life there are so many distractions taking us off course, taking us from where we want to go and to do the things that are really good for us. It's so easy not to do them. So where are you doing it? Are you waking up and you're doing it right in your bed? Are you doing it right outside of your bed? I literally have my spot right outside my bed. I had a whole different plan when I moved into my home. I was going to have a separate room for my meditation. Not realistic for me. My most realistic situation was right outside my bed, because I can never miss it. In order to get up and walk anywhere, I see my meditation spot, I pass my meditation spot, and it's right there. So that helped me. The other thing is, a space actually remembers and holds the frequency. So like temples, churches, mosques, all these different places hold, you walk in and you feel moved at times, because it's holding the remembrance of the frequency that's been reached in that space. And that is the same for your meditation spot. I can meditate in three different places in my home. Any other place is going to feel different. I'm not going to be able to drop in, because it holds the memory for me and it helps me and encourages me to get there. So that have your space.
True. And I fucking love that answer.
Well, you used to do that in your meditation sunroom. Like, that was like your room.
That certainly held a frequency.
That I love space. A room that's like, that holds something to you.
It's a very logical, practical answer from a very spiritual girly. And I love that, because the truth of the matter is that if you don't have the spot that you go to, you probably won't do it.
Well, it's interesting, because I was just thinking to myself, oh, if I went and did this tomorrow, where the hell would I do it? And then I was thinking my dad needs to do my sunroom so I could do it in there.
So logically speaking, though, if you don't have a spot to go habitually, you won't go there.
You definitely won't go.
But what's interesting, going back to the previous part of the conversation where I said, like, I'm having trouble, like, with the same routine I once had, or that I'm being challenged to change it. My meditation room, which is magnificent, and, you know, I made it. It's a perfect chair. It has your meditation cushion, like music and crystals and fucking Buddhas, and it's sick. I love it. It holds a frequency for sure. It's between my two girls' rooms. So I can't go in there in the morning because the door will crack and it will wake them up. So I can't get in there. So I'm like,
your llama child's going to need to go in there.
Yeah, my llama will go in there.
So the room's going to go anyway.
The llama is approaching, or the other elephant will find out soon.
You know what room I love in your house? The one that has like the great room where it has like the light coming in.
It's beautiful. But so to the point of making it easy for yourself, I love baths. So recently my solution has been that I now meditate deeply in the bath, and it's so easy for me. I can do it all the time. And I absolutely love that solution. And it's one of my new three spots, you know? And then also the other one is my fucking bed, my bed. I meditate in my bed all the time. I love it. Right before bed, right when I wake up, I open the shades, like what sun can come in for me. I stare at the light and I sit there and I just breathe and go to a different dimension.
What is the definition of meditation to both of you? Like, not in like a non me understanding way. Like, don't give me your like spiritual.
You go first, Erica, and then I'll go.
Wait, you don't want the spiritual? You want like a very tangible.
Like a tangible, like, what does it make you feel? Like, why do you recommend it? Like, what's so cool about it?
It's home within yourself. It's literally feeling safe and home inside your body, free of everything, and just beautiful. The essence of you, but also this connectedness to everything at the same exact time.
Beautiful. Oh, what lovely, lovely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which
lovely.
I feel definitely like heals anxiety, because I think a lot of your anxiety comes in like from the core of yourself, obviously. So it's interesting.
I think my answer is honestly one word, and it's space. And meditation to me is space. It's space from my mind, space from my thoughts, space from my chest tightness, space from my worries and fears. It's I give myself space. And meditation and breath work allows for that space to widen as time goes on, visually or spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever the connection is. So I'm able to look at myself as the witness and be like, should I have said that? Should I have done that? Should I have felt that? Okay, now let me get space from that thought. It doesn't matter if you did. It doesn't matter if you said that, did
you're
that.
You're like healing your own thoughts.
And then I move further away from that thought. And then I'm like, quiet, quiet. And then I move further away from that thought. And I'm like, nothing. Nothing. And it's like this, it's just a gradual space. And then, you know how earlier I said, like, I don't go to physical space. I've gone to the like universe before. Like I've gone to space. I felt it. I floated.
What'd you do there?
I floated and I was not here. And it was almost scary. Honestly, I know you know what I'm talking about, Erica. And those moments are rare. I don't go there every time. But when I say space, ironically, like play on words, yeah. I am not always going to that area of spaciousness, but I'm just allowing in whatever time frame I have, whether that be 3 minutes, 1 minute, 20 minutes, an hour and a half. All I'm doing in the meditation practice is giving more and more space as more time goes on. That's literally it.
Erica, do you ever have days where like you're like feel not meditative, like you're pissed off, you had a shitty day? Like I know you start your day with the meditation, but like is there any days that you do have where you allow yourself to go to that space? Or
yeah, you ever want to punch someone in the fucking face?
Rarely, but I will say this last year was a really rough year for me. It started last summer. There was a transit in my chart that was brutal. I felt so raw and just exposed. I can't even describe what I was feeling. And it was interesting. It brought a lot of healing, actually, and what it led to. Like when I was telling people I was going through a hard time, and it was like probably one of the deepest, hardest times of my life, there was nothing playing out in the physical realm. So to everyone, they're like, well, what's going on? Like, what's causing this? And I'm like, nothing in the physical realm. It's everything within me. And then from there followed a chapter where so much was going on in the physical realm that impacted me,
right,
and had an effect on me. But I was almost prepared for it in that first period.
You were already
so when it came. So when it came, it was like I was downloaded almost with this healing, this wisdom, this perspective. And then when things were coming up in this realm and the physical and things were going wrong, quote unquote, and horrible things were happening, whatever, however you want to say it.
Right.
I was able to see it and handle it in a different way because of the experience I had. But with that, there were days of like, I can't believe how great I'm handling this and moving through it. And then there were days of like, what do I even do for a living? Like, what am I even teaching people?
Yeah.
Do they even want to hear this? Like, everyone knows to meditate.
I like to hear that, in case you were
wondering. And I was like, who is she? Who is this girl that moved in? Because I've never seen her before. And we got to get her out ASAP. And it's just – it's the human freaking experience. And I'm so grateful I'm on the other side right now. I'm like the exact opposite energy, which feels so good. But it is life. And in life, we're going to have the light – filled 5D, beyond 5D experiences. And then we're going to be on our ass and we're going to remember like why we do this, what we believe, but we may be tested and challenged. So yeah, I'm a human. It happens. I like, well, for I
like
sure.
That, though, because like you, yeah, you may not see this because you're not in realms of others that like you are probably looked at as that like, oh, she never has those days.
Never. Like, yeah, of course.
It's nice
yeah.
to hear this though, because from like an outsider perspective, I'm like, yeah, she had a day.
No, she's just developed better coping skills. That's literally
I like
what it
to
is.
Know that though, because it's attainable.
Yeah, no,
it's like something that you can change. It's something that you can alter. It's something that you can control. And it's nice to hear.
Nice. This is the thing. Right now, the energy on this planet is so powerful and so potent that everyone and anyone has access to spirituality, to higher consciousness, to psychic abilities, to telepathy. And more now than ever before. Like I feel that so deeply. These gifts are coming online where you can start a practice now and you will go so much further than in the past. It may have taken years to get to that point. So definitely. It's possible for anyone and everyone. And you started the conversation with Cancel Clear. I've been using that more than ever because of how instant some things are manifesting right now. We have to be so I don't want to say careful because it sounds fearful, but we have to be so intentional with the words we speak and the thoughts we have and make sure everything coming out of our mouth right now is what we set intention for. And yep. if it's not what we want, we're not saying it because why would we put that out there? But yeah, it's everyone has access to this. I am not special. Rachel's not special. We have a connection and it's something that we practice and we've developed and it allows us to go deep and everyone has access to it. It just takes space. Like Rachel said, it takes creating the space and we all have it within us.
The will to do it. It's like
yeah,
the other thing that people have to add into their day. It's not something that you can just like pretend that you do in my eyes.
It's a commitment. It's a commitment. True commitment. Like I was driving here thinking about my morning practice and how I slept in a little bit today and it was shorter. And I was just like, just thinking about how much time I spend in my morning practice. And I reminded myself, like, this is my commitment during this lifetime. I'm here to get all I can from my morning practice and then to share and inspire others to develop that. And I don't have to think into it too much. Why? Or is it right? Is it wrong? It's just what my soul is guiding me and telling me to do.
We love
it
that.
Just is. All right. Yeah. So step one, you want a new routine. Yeah. Where the hell are you doing it? What's step
Where
two?
Where are you doing it? Step two is have a plan. I really recommend starting with breath work for the people who don't think they can meditate because I was one of those people. I ran super anxious, as I've shared, and the breath is distracting the left side of the brain so that you could tap into the right side and go into your subconscious. So it's like, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm doing something, I'm breathing. And you're able to dip into a really deep and healing space because of the distraction that the breath brings. But it's not just a distraction. It's actually having a really amazing positive impact on the physical body, on your consciousness, on your energetic state. So breath work really helps, especially if you feel like you're easily distracted. And there's a ton of variety with breath work. Like I teach from like the slowest, softest, most gentle to the craziest, most intense, because we're all on a different space on this continuum. I was a very intense person. I needed the intensity. I needed to feel like I was getting a full-blown workout to calm and ground my rear end to the earth, like truly. So it's like find, kind of tap into yourself. Think about your intensity level. Think about how consumed you are by your thoughts and the external. And if you're already very high energy, that might call for a super intense practice to ground you. Or it might call for a very soft, soothing, soft breath, slow breath practice to soothe you. And you kind of have to try out different ones to know what really works for you. But have a plan for people that have my app and practice through my app or another app. It's like, know what you're going to do each day. Have an idea. Have a favorites list. And based off the time you have, pick out of the five. Just have some sort of plan. Right now, I'm sticking to a practice every day for the month of May because in the morning, I don't have to think. I wake up, I do it, and this particular practice brings me to a very connected space. I know that. I love it. So I just go and do it.
I love
that. So that would be my suggestion.
I think too, it's like, as long as you're always doing something, it doesn't always have to be the same, right? Like as long as there's like, and I think to the point of that I was making earlier about meditation equals space, right? In that definition, if you're trying to pick a long laundry list of things, like you said, your top five favorite things, like it could be journaling, it could be a nature walk, it could be a meditation bathtub, it could be meditating in the shower, it could be staring at your kids, it could be all these different things, but you have to know what you need. Right? Like in that moment. So like if your only form of meditation is a hobby and that's all you ever do, I would think maybe time to switch it up a little bit and like add something else into the mix. So like if you are looking to develop that routine, I guess you're right. It's like, where are you doing it? And then what's your laundry list of things you'd like to do? And then make a plan for the time frame you see available in that day of what you'd like to commit to based on what your needs are that day. You know what I mean? Like if I'm tizzied and something's going on with work and I can't clear my mind, I may not do breath work. I may do 1 minute of breath work or 3 minutes of breath work and then may do all journaling. Or if I'm feeling really clear and calm and namaste, I may do all breath work and try to go really deep, right? Like, so it's that in-tunement with yourself. Attunement.
Yeah. And if there's a listener who's never tried breath work, I just strongly recommend trying it because of what it brings you. And it's going to bring you a different journaling. There's a place and time for it. It's amazing. It's powerful. Breathwork's going to bring you something different. Right. And to truly experience and start to gain the power over your breath and be able to command your breath, you are going to have so much more power over your thoughts because the breath comes first before anything. So it's getting ahead of your thoughts and you're going to gain more power over your life. That's why I'm a huge promoter and advocate for breath work.
It's super healthy for you too. I think
it is.
Gary Brecka like posts it all the time. Healthy. I love him. And he talks about how like, I don't know why he says it's healthy, but he just says like every morning, you take like these big, deep, deep breaths and it's very healthy for your body.
It shifts your digestive system.
That's what it is. Thank you.
Very regular from starting the day with breath work. It alkalines your system. It oxygenates your blood. I'm doing a set right now that literally detoxifies the body and increases circulation. So the energy is not just in the center of the body, but it expands out to the limbs, the extremities. It's so impactful on the physical as well.
My breath work practice is probably the biggest practice that I have. The reason I love it the most, and you talk about like getting to different levels, is because I can do it anywhere. Like I don't need to be like sitting there in a quiet moment to have my breath work. I can do it when I'm peeing for a quick second in the middle of a meeting and get like 3 ujjayi breath in and I'm like, I'm good. I will say I think ujjayi breath probably changed my life the most, like truthfully. And when I can sit there and go deep and like really focus on that ocean sound in my throat, I can transform to any version of myself. It's wild. Breath is life.
Yeah.
Like
you gotta breathe.
No, literally, breath equals life. I think we talked about this before, but like I read this book by a yogi once who said like the length of breath represents your length of life, like how deep you can breathe. It actually, yeah. There's correlation
there. I love those things on TikTok where they're like, we're going to test your lungs. Do you ever do that?
No.
Yeah. What?
I've seen them before. Oh, yeah.
And then they make you like basically not breathe. They're like testing the health of your lungs where you like breathe in and hold it. You've seen it.
What's step three in the routine building? So we have our place, we have our assignment, and then what? Right.
Stick to it and stay consistent because
do it.
And this is what I wanted to share with your list, like the laundry list of things you want to do. There is significance in sticking with something for a certain period of time. For instance, I was just teaching this beginners program and I taught them a really powerful mantra. And mantra could be a little out there woo-woo. It's more difficult to connect to than breath for some people. And I said the first time you're going to just explore it and see how it goes. The second time you might feel a little more confident and a little bit more settled in it. The third time you're going to start to feel some energy move. And then the 100th time, God knows where it's going to take you. And it's so they're saying, they're like, it's only day three of this mantra. I'm already seeing and feeling such a difference. So, and that's the same with different breath works too. You are going to want to grow with one practice as well and just try it on, explore it. I love hopping around. I teach this. I know a lot of different options and what they bring. So I'll know what I could get from each breath work. But my teacher is always like, Erica, have you settled into one practice for the rest of your life? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not a monogamist yet. Like I just love it all too much. Well, and I'm still hopping around.
Yeah.
But I'll go like one practice for a week or 40 days, and then I'll switch it up because I think it's just so fun to explore. But sitting and growing with one for a certain amount of time, whether it's 3 days, 7 days, 40 days, because that's how long it takes to break and then rebuild a new habit, is really powerful too. Well,
it's interesting because like habits are the hardest to like,
yes,
in my opinion.
I'm definitely cyclical with the laundry list. That is for sure. Like, yeah. but cyclical in the sense like it does stick for a short amount of time or longer, it is. So like there's like the base and then there's like the things I'm like trying out. Like fasting was that for me. Like I did fasting meditation, honestly, probably for like the last year and it changed my life. It changed like I recently got like a functional blood lab and it was like your liver like wants you to stop fasting. So I'm going to like slow down on that now. But like I don't look at that as like ending it cold turkey. I'm still doing it in other ways, but it's a form of meditation to me to take space from food, right? Like and ask myself like, do I want this? Why do I want it? What's it going to do for me? And it allows me also to eat junk food, right? Like when I'm having like I'm like I want gummy bears. I'm like, okay, do you really want them or do you want it at a different time? You know what I mean? So it's like I don't know, it's just that reflection, it's those practices. And then I keep, you know, the fasting as an underlying modality inside of my practices and then layer it with other things, right? I like to visualize that, like the layering of the different things. And then another thing I've visualized in the midst of your conversation is ceiling breaks. We talk about this a lot in business, like you're climbing a ladder and then you break through a ceiling and right before you break through the ceiling, you feel tension, right? Like you feel stress and anxiety and you're like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? You break through and then you're like, okay, I'm at the next staircase. So I've almost envisioned that a little bit in this conversation, you know?
Yeah, totally. And what came to my mind with the fasting, I personally don't fast a lot, but on the few times that I've like done a cleanse or a reset, 2020 just came into my mind, how like there was a complete reset of like how we lived and it kind of shifted our perspective and like our focus on what's important. And I can see that too with like practicing fasting. It's kind of bringing us back to like the zero point.
Exactly.
And really intentionally bringing in the foods that serve you and then taking in the ones that might not serve you physically but make you happy in a more intentional way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all connected.
Totally.
About balance though. Like I feel like.
Oh, yep. Well, isn't that what this podcast is about, Carly?
The extremes in life are tough to deal with. So I think it's like making a habit of meditation. Like, it's not like a one and done once a week kind of thing, or like going to the gym. It's not like it's just not one and done. Like, it's like a constant,
it's a practice.
You have to live in life. I think that's what makes people anxious though, which is funny.
One thing I miss is yoga. That is one thing that used to be such a big part of my life. And I used to be so fucking good at it.
Do you do yoga?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I just got back into it. I love vinyasa. And I mean, Kundalini is technically Kundalini yoga and meditation. Oh. So I do Kundalini yoga, but it's different than like what we in the Western world just see as yoga. But I do that, and I do vinyasa too. But it's special, and it really creates that space within you too.
I love yoga.
Do you ever
find it
hard for your routine? Like, you're like meditating, you're going to the gym, you're eating healthy. Like, you do a lot of things people aspire to do. Like, do you ever get like tired of it?
I'm glad you're asking this, because based off of what you just said before, I wanted to share this too, what I think is so important. I want to feel my best every day. So it's never like I have to move. I have to do this. It's like I want to feel my strongest mentally, physically, spiritually, and I know the avenue that's going to get me there. And it's really having that long-term vision rather than that immediate one. I truly see movement, walking, working out, doing sculpt, whatever it is that I like to do, yoga, as a gift to an honor, a privilege. And I come from that space. So it's never like, oh, here we go again. I have to do this. It's like, no, this is what makes me feel more me. So I'm excited. Thank God I have the time and the space to. So I think everything's about intention and where you come from and how you can see it and changing the mindset. And that's what meditation helps us to do. Yeah. It helps us to get on a more positive current and see things in a way that serves our higher self.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's challenging for me because, like I mentioned, time is a thing for me, and I like to give my children as much quality time as I can. But also, in order for me to do that, I need to be well. So like yoga dropped off for me when I had when I probably had both of my girls. It dropped off for me, sadly, and I loved it so, so much. And it's just one of those practices that requires for me personally, like 45 minutes or to an hour to like really like get into it and really flow. And I don't really have that at this time. So I've had to sacrifice and make the choice of like, which is more important. I've actually prioritized weightlifting and high intensity workouts more, mainly because honestly, because my children are heavy. So I'm holding 50 pounds at a time when they won't both want to be held. I was finding I wasn't able to do that very well. So I was like, I need to switch a little bit and focus more on like core building. But one thing I wanted to say too about your question, Carly, is like that core building motivation, right? Like I'm waking up at 5 a.m. to go to a weightlifting class, but I'm already tired. Like, where is that coming from? That motivation, that will to do it. It's not in the moment of the wake up. It's not in the moment of the workout. And it's
the long term.
No, it's after for me. It's literally the moment I'm done with the workout. I tap into that feeling and I'm like, woo, I feel fucking good. Woo, I want to fucking feel this again. And then I remember that and
do it again.
Woo, and I'm motivated, right? So it's like, then I'm holding both the girls and I'll look at Mike and be like, whoa, my core feels strong. Like I feel good, fucking good. And I'll be like, I got to remember that. And well, I tap into the space of remembering that. Yeah. And then I do it again.
Well, that's what I'm asking, because it's like adding something else to a routine or my day. Like it makes me tired. But then I'm also like, I see the other side of it where it's like, I love this feeling. This soothes me. This like helps me be the best version of myself. I like that feeling too. I love that feeling when you leave the gym and you're like, endorphins are high. But then I forget the feeling, and then I
well, if you don't have too much space from it, then you do remember the feeling.
Yeah, it's true. Rachel, it's going back to like the phases of your life. Right now, you're doing functional training to literally be able to lift your children at this age, and I think right now it's so exciting that we see people in every age group being able to be yogis and do incredible. Like I follow people in their 50s who are unbelievable at yoga. And who knows, like maybe that's when you're like the most yogi you've ever been. And it's not about being like, oh, I wish like I lost it. It's never about losing it. Yeah, we always have the opportunity. And the other thing is something I think about before I always loved sleeping in. We were not an early family growing up. We were in beds. I was in bed till like 12 p.m. some days. Wow. Like I loved sleeping. I was never a morning person. But in the morning, today included, when I want to continue to snooze, I always think like, you never regret getting into your meditation. You never regret a longer meditation. Not. And that thought, like I'll literally be like, just press snooze. Really? And I'm like cuddled up and I'm like, you never regret a meditation. I'm like, okay, you're right. Like what feels better in this moment is snoozing, but what's going to feel better throughout my day is my long, extended, deep, powerful, even right. sweaty meditation. It's very, and it's like having that.
You love sleeping. And I know why you love sleeping, but sleeping in is cracks me up. Yeah. I would be like 4 a.m.
I've actually been viewing sleep as a form of one of my different things on my laundry list, because like the way I look at it is each of my mornings, I have a different opportunity to fill the time with something. On right now, what the flow is on Monday mornings at 6 a.m., it's high intensity training. Tuesday mornings, it's before all my business meetings. So it's thought provoking meditation, sitting there journaling, thinking, did I do this right? Could I have done this better? Self-analyzing. Wednesday morning is sleep. Like I try to sleep in as late as I can, sleeping in meaning 6:30 and then, or like 7, but that never happens anymore. But then Thursday is high intensity training and Friday is sleep. So I'm trying to keep myself in this rhythm. What's interesting about what you said is about the planning. So what I've had to find myself doing is as my life morphs and changes, I'm also working on morphing and changing that routine with it. So it's like in a constant state of ebb and flow. It's never going anywhere and it's not making me sad about the yoga. And I love that perspective too, because I know it will come back to me. And I'm even starting to kind of plot and plan, like you said, like when, like I know I see Lily liking yoga and I teach her downward dog and somersaults and take her to gymnastics and whatever. And she goes, mama yoga. So recently I've been like stretching with her and just doing light yoga. And I could see myself like doing yoga with her. Right? Yeah. Like incorporating them into my life.
I like instilling that in your kids though. I think it's really smart like just, for them to like, yeah, like agree. Those things. I love that.
Just like the change, embracing the change, going with exactly. the flow of it all. I didn't know this before I was a mom that this would happen. You know what I mean? But I knew I could never give up the feeling of floating in space and having that space in my mind. I would never give that up. That's my everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's motivating.
Yeah. It's so true. And different phases call for different structures. Like you have a very specific structure you're following each week, where I'm in a chapter where I could be a little bit more in the flow, but different stages are going to call for, and I'm enjoying it because it could change at any moment. You never know, you know? And it's just like different stages call for different aspects of us. And some is like more feminine energy. Some is more masculine right. energy. And it's always shifting with what we're being given and what's right in front of us.
Yeah. I think the goal is just happy, right? Like one thing you said before, Carly, is like, what if it makes you happy to talk shit, surround yourself with fuckers and like drink some alcohol? That is super possible. Like that is a form of meditation. Let's say you love getting shit faced and that's your space. Like fucking namaste. For me, I went to New York City this past weekend. I drank like a degenerate, like dipped out. Like I was eating like shit. My aura ring was like turning red, like in purple, like a new color I had never even seen. It was like, you're fucking not well. I'm joking. It wasn't purple, but I'm just saying like my recovery index was off. Like my fucking heart rate was terrible. My steps were high, but like I gained weight. You can tell like when it's not working for you, but I agree with you. Everybody's looks different, right? Like there's no judgment in this space of meditation or practicing this. It's just, how do you feel, right? Like the clarity of like, exactly. do you feel good?
And are you analyzing it or ignoring it? Because that's something like you can totally ignore it for the rest of your life and be totally happy and fine. But like, I always like to ask myself, like, how much better can I be or how much better could I get?
How good can it get?
And I never mad at myself. Well, that's a lie. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I did that earlier or I wish I did that more. I hate that feeling. So I always try to get ahead of it. But I always like talks like this because then I feel a little bit more motivated.
Yeah. And I think it's about when you start to do things that really support you feeling good, that momentum is there and that will carry you through. And what Rachel said, like the space between could you know, keep us from the things that really help us to feel good. And it's not easy getting to the things that help us to feel good. It should be. It would make so much sense. Like, do the things that make you feel good. But it's not easy because a lot of those things aren't easy. Working out, going weightlifting at 6 a.m. before you're running an entire business, that's not the easiest choice.
That's definitely
but
not
it's the easy. Choice that's going to pay off and that you feel really is benefiting you here and in the future.
I agree with you, but I also sometimes hate myself for saying that because I'll be like, is it easy though? Like I always question to myself, like, is it easy to go to the gym? Because like you get to and you're lucky that you're able. And then Are you sure? Because people do it every day.
No. So I went to New York this past weekend. That was like my break, right? Like that was a form of meditation. I was like, I need the fucking city for a second, even though the city is very different right now. Very interesting to be in that environment and observe. But when I got back, I did not go to the gym Monday and I did not go to the gym Thursday. And so I did not go to the gym this week. And the only thing I did this week, it pissed me off for a sec, but I accept myself.
We accept you.
It's fine. But this morning I had a presentation that I wasn't prepared for. So I like had to wake up at 5 and prepared for the presentation.
Presented for a lot of people.
Carly. And two people I presented for. And that's why she's making fun of me. But anyways, I didn't do the routine, right? But I knew I needed the breath work. So I did the bathtub and that was all I could get to. That was it. That's all I had this week. So I think it's always different, right? And then I know I've already planned and prepared and I'm fully fucking ready that Monday and Thursday I will be going so hard. I will be carbless next week. I will be fasting to the best of my ability. Like I already know when I'm doing the breath work. It's like it's planned, right? Like it's something I know is coming.
Yeah. And I assume and think it's probably from that space of like, I indulged in this way and I gave myself what I needed by going to New York City, doing all those things. But now I'm giving myself what I need to feel my best at work and for my family. And it's never like a punishment or like getting back at yourself for not doing it. It's from this place of like, I need to realign because this is where I feel more me and my best self.
Yeah, no, it's like a vibration.
I agree with that.
Like I'm in the car, like like happy and like fucking thriving when I like know I went to the gym and like I know I did my things and like I feel fucking clear and like I'm not anxious about anything because I'm not worried about what I said and I'm not worried about what I did and I'm not worried. None of those things are happening because I gave myself the space. So like, yeah, I'd rather live with less anxiety and I'd rather put the work in to live with less anxiety every fucking day, you know? Yeah. And I will tell you like from drinking and stuff, and like being more social, like anxiety started to brew. I was like, did I say that? Did that come out weird? You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I hate alcohol. Yeah. I hate it.
It can just happen so easily. I think this has been a lovely conversation. Really just organic.
Enlightening.
We could talk for days.
I could literally just talk to you for
I need a follow-up hangout.
I'll hang out with you.
Say less. I love you.
I love you guys.
Can you give everybody an understanding of where to find all of your business, your social media accounts?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm at incal.xcal on Instagram. I have Evolve by Erica, which is an app for Apple, and you could also find it on the web. I'm going to create a coupon for them, for your listeners, for a month free on the app. It'll be Soul Busy.
Let's go.
And I have a podcast as well. You have to come back. It's Evolve by Erica, the podcast. You can find it on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, all the places, and TikTok as well. Trying to dip my toes in there a little bit more.
Yeah, I actually saw a really viral TikTok of you and Vinny, and I was fucking howling by myself, the cleaning supplies.
Very funny.
What was he saying? He was like, Erica thinks that I use this organic cleaning product, but really, I'm using Dawn to clean the ducks. And I was crying alone.
It was really funny. Holy shit. I need more viral content, I just bring Vinny in. He's it.
I've never met him, but I'm his number one fan. I honestly think he's so funny.
Thank you for your time and energy.
Thank you. Quick
reminder, Vinny did my first headshot ever in the basement.
I don't care. I love him and I want to hang out with him.
Do you remember that? I just want to make sure you remember.
I know. It's
pecans. What was the thing you said? The pecans?
He was making fun of Erica.
One of you all day. I love it.
I love you, Erica.
I love you guys.
You're a beautiful soul. I'm honored that you came on again.
Right back at the both of you. I love you. I can't wait to listen to all your other episodes and
shit coming out.
I'm so happy to connect.
Love you.
Thank you guys. Love you.
Rock on.
Rock out.
Rock out.